Creator, the King of Kings, and reminders of him. This reminder, a service of your friends at Parker Hannifin.
Good morning, good afternoon, Sunshine Country. As I've been telling you, you're going to have the opportunity and pleasure now to visit with Auditor Rob Sand with me this afternoon, auditor for the state of Iowa and gubernatorial candidate on the Democrat side. Auditor Sand, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to get to visit with you. How's the campaign going, Auditor?
Hey, we're having fun. We're feeling good. I think Iowans are pretty fed up with the direction of things, and they're ready for change. And, you know, people been seeing me being more willing than anybody else out there to criticize my own party or defend the other one if it happens to be the right thing to do. And I think that's what people are hungry for right now.
I think so. I think people want some honesty. I think a lot of people are tired of the way not only – at a state level, but at a federal level as too. I think people are kind of tired of some of those things. Before we get to that, though, Auditor, I need to know some really important information. So, number one, you had a pretty remarkable deer season, archery season. Killed a, what, 209-inch buck or something like that? Crazy numbers.
209-inch was the green score. It shrunk down to 206, but pretty darn happy about it either way.
Are you a fisherman? Have you been fishing?
This calendar year, I have not yet.
Okay, but it's on the agenda though, right?
I'll undoubtedly be out there. My boys, you know, they're pretty young and they wiggle around a lot and they make a lot of noise. So fishing is better for them than bow hunting is. So we'll definitely be out there as the weather warms up.
That's awesome. I think there's probably no more important time that can be spent than that time. With the kiddos. In my opinion, I'm kind of opinionated from time to time, but I think it's critically important. We need more dads doing that, in my opinion.
Yep.
So
I can't remember who sings it, but I love that song. You know, she thinks we're fishing, we're making memories.
Yeah, Trace Atkins is the artist on that one. It is pretty awesome. So, Auditor, you have been busy. You are active on social media, and like you said, you do cross a lot of lines. As far as Democrat, Republican, independent, somewhat of an independent thinker, I would say, overall. And you recently released, now you and I do have a couple differences, and we're going to get to those in a minute, but you recently.
I hope that I have differences with everybody in the state of Iowa. I mean, otherwise, somebody's not thinking for themselves enough.
I think you heard me say that. I think because that's one, if you agree all the time, someone's not thinking and someone's not doing their job.
There's a really funny quote. I don't remember who it is, but it was like, if you agree with me on 7 out of 10 issues, vote for me. If you agree with me on 10 out of 10 issues, see a psychiatrist.
Yeah. I've always said I don't agree with myself all the time. So how can you?
I'm going to steal that.
One of the things that you've recently released, Accountability for All. And again, from stock trading to for politicians while they're in office, I think that's one that a lot of people have would buy into, I think, for sure. I want a little clarification on this. Requiring mandatory prison sentences for taxpayer abusers, I'm with you, and thieves. How do you determine what are thieves? Where's the cutoff? Because we're going to have to build a whole lot more prisons if we get too far into that.
Well, it means what this policy means is if you steal a bunch of money from taxpayers, you should go to prison.
Okay.
Now, what it also means is if you're talking about a 15-year-old taking a 20 from the till at the swimming pool concession stand, and that's taxpayer money, but it's 20 bucks, I would draw the line at first-degree theft and first-degree fraud, I believe. When I was a prosecutor in the Attorney General's office, 2010 to 2017, that was $10,000. I think they may have bumped it up to 12,000 now, but I think that's a reasonable line to draw. Basically, the message is if you're sitting there stealing real amounts of money from taxpayer week after week, month after month, you're going to go to prison for it. Because if we send that message, then fewer people are going to steal money.
I agree. 100%. 100%. I was just curious when I was looking through your Accountability for All plan, I thought, and it sounds good, but there is definition to that. Once you get into it, there is definition for that, for what that looks like. So one of the other things you get into, establishing requirement for elected officials, that you cross all kinds of lines here, Auditor, enforcing term limits, enforcing age limits. Would you set age limits?
Please.
Requiring elected officials to take cognitive tests, and requiring elected officials to take civics tests. You got to explain this to me. Break this down for me.
They all kind of explain themselves a little bit, right? You ought to pass a civics test in order to be elected to office. If you can't pass it in order to get on the ballot, well, study a little bit, and I'm sure the next time around you can pass it because I believe in you. But if you can't do it now, then you shouldn't get elected. If we're gonna require high school graduates, which we now do in Iowa, to pass the civics test, then elected officials ought to as well. Age limits. There is such a thing as being too old to hold an office. I believe that.
Yeah.
So let's make it so. We have seen the elite of both parties, Democrats and Republicans, around the country sit in office way too long.
Yeah.
Sometimes they die in office. Other times they deteriorate in office. We already have a minimum age. Let's make a maximum age. Term limits. Yeah, absolutely. We want people who are there for a reason, not just because they're enjoying all the power that they have. We want them to have, you know, to have an opportunity to do more than one term. Let's let them get their feet underneath them and learn what they're doing and become more effective.
Yeah.
But let's have them be done before they lose their effectiveness. I think all of this stuff is common sense stuff that the vast majority of people in both parties want, and by golly, it's time we have it.
I think absolutely. I think most level-headed people that I know would agree with that. It just seems to make perfect sense to me, but you know, in a crazy world, it's controversial to say some of those things. I love it. I got to tell you, I love it. So one of the things, too.
The first piece of our platform. This is the priority. I to be clear, too.
Yeah.
We have a lot of problems. Part of the reason we got so many of these problems is because we don't have these rules for politicians right now. So they can just sort of not solve our problems and then, you know, get reelected because they've got all this power to scare people out of the race or push people in their direction.
I'm going to talk about vouchers for a second. One of the things I've had the opportunity of when I visit with people running for office, I ask them about vouchers. And as the question is, I'm a person, I like small government. I like efficient government. I like taxes low. But at the same time, I want to know where my tax dollars are going. And do you feel that there is sufficient transparency in where the vouchers or the ESA accounts, call them what you want to, where those tax dollars are going?
Let's just tell people what the rules are. I'd rather tell you the facts than my opinion. Here's the facts. This money is required by law to be paid as tuition until tuition is paid at the private school. So your tax dollars are going to the private school. They're usually charging at this point as much money as they can get out of the voucher, usually. And then there's only one thing on God's green earth that they can't do with that money. They cannot pay a rebate to parents. So they don't have to get an audit. They don't have to be audited. There's no public transparency. If they are a for-profit school and their rule is that every one of your tax dollars goes into their pocket as profit, that is legal under the current system. This is all crazy, and none of the things that I just said should be true. Of course there should be rules for how taxpayer money gets spent.
Yeah.
Of course taxpayers should be able to see how their money gets spent. I think this is really basic stuff. We want to have accountability for how this money gets spent.
I want to continue along those lines. I told you I like small government. I like efficient government. But at the same time, I have a bit of a problem, and this is something that I know you talk about a lot, with a near billion-dollar deficit. I don't know that we're being fiscally responsible. So the question is, and most people would say, that's perfect common sense. Again, everybody says that. But how do you fix that without a huge burden on your taxpayers?
Well, number one, they passed the law to make it harder for us in the state auditor's office to find misspent money. You don't do that. You want to have everybody that's spending tax dollars fear the watchdog, right? But if you put a muzzle on us, if you tell us you can't go look over here, over there, you put us on a short leash, then you're going to see waste, fraud, and abuse increase. This is what every single government watchdog in America, Democrats, independents, and Republicans that weighed in on this law, they all said it was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to reverse that. That's going to help. We should codify our PI program. It's Public Innovations and Efficiencies. It's something we created in my first term to improve government efficiency at the local level. That would help. I think that we ought to have income caps on people who get the vouchers program. if you're making so much money in the state of Iowa, you know, $1 million a year, that you don't even notice the check when you pay it for your private school tuition, then we probably don't need to be taking scarce taxpayer resources to give you your money back for paying that tuition check. I think that that's still, that would save us a heck of a lot of money right there too. And then I think it's also important, I think that we should treat cannabis the way that we treat alcohol. You don't want people running around abusing it willy-nilly. You want to have some rules. But I also, I don't think it makes any sense to be paying for three hots and a cot for anybody that in their own home smokes pot.
I don't either. I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
All of those things would go a long way if we did all those things towards fixing our massive $1.3 billion budget deficit right now.
But again, $1.3 billion is a lot of money. I don't know. Again, I like low taxes. I'm a fan of low taxes. No bones about it. I like a small government.
We all are.
But I just think that it seems to me it's the thing I complain about. At the federal level, it seems like we just continue to go further and further and further with that. And I just it's annoying to me. I know you're running.
Well, that's a fair criticism. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. So one of the things, Auditor, I told you we disagree on, and this is of importance to me. And a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we disagree because I've read some of your positions on it. But it is the position of abortion. You, as governor, would have the option, you know, working with your legislature to influence Iowa's law. Tell me where you're at. I know that you're not a fan of the 6-week ban. I want you to tell me and help me understand, because we disagree pretty vehemently on this. So I want you to explain it to me.
Sure. Look, right now in Iowa, we've got a 6-week abortion ban. There are no exceptions for little girls. If an 11-year-old girl were to be pregnant, not even really understanding what it was, and find out at 8 weeks, this legislature rejected an amendment when they passed the 6-week ban that would have allowed an exception for an 11-year-old, for a 10-year-old. And yes, there are girls that little that can become pregnant. It's terrible. I'm a pretty reasonable guy. I think that Roe versus Wade was a pretty reasonable compromise. I'm okay with cautions around the issue, but at the fundamental level, I don't think that government should be involved in making this decision. I think that there's enough things that government needs to be involved in. And the folks who feel strongly about it, by golly, they can speak. They have their First Amendment rights. Everybody on both sides of this issue, they can go have protests, they can write letters, they can try to influence people through their arguments. But we have hit a point here where the restrictions, I think, have become too restrictive. And working with a Republican legislature, if I win this race, I'll be able to veto additional restrictions. We have seen bills in the legislature that would criminalize abortion from conception. It's getting harder and harder for doctors who deliver babies to practice in Iowa because they're putting on all these rules that make them fear that they're going to get sued for doing their jobs. I think we want babies to get born in the state of Iowa. I think we want women to have some reasonable amount of freedom on reproduction. And I can respect your disagreement with me. I can respect your opinion on it. That's my point, is at the end of the day, I want you to be able to voice that opinion, to try to be able to convince people through your words.
Yeah.
And through storytelling, and not through just saying this is the law.
Yeah. I still disagree with you, Auditor. I just got to be honest.
Okay.
I'm a person, you know, I think that personally, my opinion is, and I think the Bible teaches it, I think life begins at conception. And to me, we're going to have to just disagree on that, respectfully so. And I think that's probably not a bad thing necessarily.
It's really important to me. I was always very confused by the Westboro Baptist Church running around spreading hate under Jesus's name when I was a teenager growing up. The Jewish tradition that Jesus comes from in the Old Testament is that life begins at breath. Now,
my wife and I
have struggled with the loss of with miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for us. I would never tell somebody that it's not special, that it's nothing. But I also wouldn't go up to a person who lost a 5-year-old and tell them that I know how they felt because we had a miscarriage or two.
Yeah.
And if we have a disagreement, we can have a disagreement. I think part of the point of this race is saying, you know, if we have divided government, then we're going to end up reaching reasonable policies because we're going to have me working with the Republican legislature and them working with me that most people can look at and say, okay, that's not too far out in either direction.
Yeah. I disagree with your assessment of the Jewish law and life at breath. I would challenge you to show me that in the Torah or where that's at.
Sure. I'll send you some links. There's at least three. It's in Ezekiel, it's in Job, and there's one other book that ties life to breath.
That's probably this gets down the Tallarico guy from Texas. This is unsound theology. It's unsound. I have to push back on that, too. We're going to disagree again, Auditor, twice in one conversation here. So
that's fine.
I would really, 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 really appreciate you sending me those links because I don't see that connection anywhere in the Torah, Jewish law. So anyway, you have other appointments? Yes, sir?
No, you're good. You're good.
All right. Anything else, Auditor, that we need to touch on?
No, look, I go back to this. You and I just had a disagreement about a very sensitive issue. We are able to have that disagreement in a way that doesn't include name calling, that doesn't include condemnation. I'm running a campaign where I talk about being a governor for all and having state government that's focused not on being redder or bluer, but better and truer. And if this conversation, not the fact of the disagreement, of course we're going to have disagreement.
Sure, sure.
But if this sounds more like the kind of debate that we ought to be having in politics, good. And I think it is. And I think that's the direction we ought to be moving in. Less name calling, more conversation.
100% agree. 100%. Okay, two things. I know you have to go. If you're ever in Southwest Iowa, if you're in the Red Oak area, the studio is always open. I would love to have you come by and visit in person. I would greatly relish that. And secondly, send me those links. I look forward to have those links sent over to me.
Okay, we'll do that.
Make it a great day, and I do, in all sincerity, thank you for your time. I do truly appreciate it.
Yeah, good talking to you, Aaron. Appreciate the time, too.
Make it a great day, Auditor. I do appreciate your time. Auditor Rob Sand with me this afternoon. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office and Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrope report the following activities between March 26th and March 31st. On Thursday, March 26th,